Here's a question for you. When you go to a news website, do you click on a story because of the picture or do you click because of the headline? Well, chances are, even if you don't realize it, it's the picture that pulls you in. So what kind of an effect is that having on the information we're consuming online? For answers, we're joined by Nikki Usher. She's an assistant professor at the George Washington School of Media and Public Affairs. Welcome.
Hi, thanks.
And Samir Mezrahi is also with us. He's a senior editor at BuzzFeed. Samir, welcome to you.
Thank you.
Well, Nikki Usher, let me start with you. Do you think that pictures have become more powerful than words when it comes to news coverage or, frankly, any form of communication on the web?
It depends. I think for the millennial generation, the answer is absolutely yes. But for people who are more used to searching for text and words and for the way that things are indexed as far as the internet, it may not be such that images are ultimately the most important thing as far as finding things.
Well, why for the millennial generation is it the case?
I think because they're so saturated in a torrent of information, images, social environment, all sorts of things that are competing for attention. And when you're constantly getting a stream of pictures of your friends, pictures of food, pictures of the world around you, you need to be grabbed by something unique and different if you're going to pay attention.
Samir Mezrahi, what are your thoughts on this? I was speaking to a friend who's working at a startup that does similar things to what BuzzFeed does, and he was saying you could have a compelling image with a bad story and it will get more clicks than a great story with a bad image.
And I certainly agree that it depends on the content, but in general, more people will click and share articles that have more compelling images. And I think if the image doesn't catch the eye of who's scrolling through their social networks, that, I mean, people won't want to know more about what's going on there.
Well, how does that play out at BuzzFeed, for example? Do you spend a lot of time trying to decide what image is going to go with a given story?
Yeah, a lot of stories these days are based around a few images or a single image. I mean, these are the more viral stories. There are news stories that are longer and more in-depth, but a lot of these, like, Facebook news stories that are very popular for a day or two and then go away are based around, like, one thing that happened. And that image is, like, the thing that people want to see and that people want to share.
Can you give us an example of a recent story that comes to mind?
Well, there's this monkey selfie story where they're talking about Wikipedia or Wikimedia says that the monkey owns the rights to the selfie because it, like, took a photographer's camera and took a picture of itself. And then, like, I guess the law is that monkeys do not own intellectual property. So, like, there's this kind of fight, and that's kind of a story, and everyone wants to see that monkey selfie.
I would like to read more about that also. That sounds pretty interesting. But Nikki Usher, as you listen to that, do you see a change happening, a big change happening in how we're deciding what media to consume?
Well, one of the most interesting things that's happening is that we're getting much more accustomed to clickbait journalism, clickbait content. And because you can get morsels of things like monkeys taking selfies so instantly, it becomes really tantalizing that you can click on that when you're maybe bored at work or you're sitting in class and you've got nothing else to do. So there's a real change in consumption because there's more content like this available to you all the time.
The other question that comes up is who owns the images? If images are going to become so important, a news organization is not going to have the power to send out a photographer and get a picture of any given thing that they might need to attach to their story. Who owns the images?
There's actually something really fascinating going on within the news industry, which is that there are these brokers that exist, these smaller organizations that are going through social media outlets and going through, say, YouTube and going through Flickr, going through Facebook, and actually looking for social media opportunities. So if somebody snapped a picture and hashtagged it Gaza, right? That these little sort of in-between organizations, one of them is called Storyful, will actually contact the person who took that photo, try to get the rights from that person, and try to actually buy the photo from that person.
Samir, at BuzzFeed, do you have to verify that the image is a real image before you put it on any story? And do you have to own the image, or can you just use an image that you find online?
So, yeah, we do reach out to the person that took the image and ask them for permission to use their image. As far as owning the images, like Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, the terms of service allow us to embed, like we fall within their terms of service to embed the tweets. But yeah, we definitely always reach out to get permission to use these things. And I do see more and more people like reaching with like Storyful, more on YouTube, but even also for images, people licensing through these third-party companies. And on the other side of that, increasingly, a lot of people are just happy to have their images out there. Like, there was this explosion in Long Island, and I noticed a lot of news places asking, like, some of the people that were there for their photos.
Yeah.
And the guy was all about, like, instantly, like, yeah, I followed you. Please, like, go ahead. I don't mind. No big deal.
Let me ask you both what you think this is doing to news coverage in general. The idea that we are very interested in the image, the idea that we are very interested in the headline, and perhaps more so than we are in the story that we are clicking through to look at and read. Samir, let me start with you. How do you think this is changing news coverage?
It's just kind of the old things in new ways. These things have been around for a long time, but you get way more information today than you did 10 years ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago. So it's just getting more things to people. The mobile phone era allows us to see more things in the beginning. Sometimes it's real, and then like a lot of people like to create fake things too, so you have to sift through that. But it does let you get like a first response look at a lot of breaking events much quicker than you ever would before.
Nikki?
I think the headline grabbing, big photo, getting people to click might actually be, sadly, one of the ways to think about the survival of journalism. If you can get people into a news site through this kind of thing, there's a good chance, and BuzzFeed is a good example of this, it's the stickiness of content. If you can get people to become immersed in a website and you grab them, you can get them to take some of the much better, sort of more substantial content, which is why BuzzFeed has such a great news operation in addition to some of its fun stuff. So I actually think that there's potential for candy, but also potential for vegetables at the same time.
Nikki Usher, assistant professor at the George Washington University School of Media and Public Affairs, and Samir Mizrahi, a senior editor at BuzzFeed. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And by the way, Robin, our crack web team has managed to find this photo of the monkey selfie. Yes. And she's put it at hereandnow.org. It is pretty great.
It is so adorable. And the question is, aside from the debate you were having about what brings you to media, can a monkey have a selfie? Does the monkey own the selfie?
It's pretty clever of a monkey to figure out how to do that, though, well, I have to say.
Should it be the monkeys? We'll follow that story as well.
I guess we will.